On this episode of the Real Life Caddy Podcast, myself and Zabo are back on our own to discuss the latest caddy stories from our lives at the resort. Recently we've caddied a lot together and we have plenty to offer. Highlights include Zabo being somewhat groomed by one of his players, I encountered the Yoga Pants Brigade, and one of our good caddy mates dropped by to share a very funny story from one of his recent loops. After a quick break, we'll share a little more information about our new podcast sponsor, Big Game Golf. And then we turn our attentions to some interesting mailbag questions and one very funny contribution from a golfer from Limerick in Southern Ireland. You won't want to miss this one. We'd love to get feedback from our listeners, so please email us podcast@glorifieddonkey.com or you can contact us on social media. If you really want to support us, you can share the podcast with friends. However, in the meantime, please enjoy this episode. Welcome to episode 107 of the Real Life Caddy Podcast, presented by
Big Game Golf, the official sponsor of the Real Life Caddy Podcast.
Yes, fantastic. We actually have a little bit of news, or more news about that, after the break, before we jump on to mailbag questions. However, I'm here with Mike Zabo.
I am here. Good to be here.
We're just fresh off a three-dayer, huh?
We just wrapped up a three-dayer, and my, a wild three-dayer it was, mostly because of the weather.
Horrendous.
Yeah.
Have you dried out yet?
Barely. It took me a while. I had a little hand warmer after I got out of my shower that I had to kind of, I was trying to get my internal core temperature up. My core temperature was low. It was rainy and cold.
Yes.
Ponds.
It was monsoon. It was monsoon.
Monsoon. We were on the third hole and it was, the greens were underwater.
Yeah. We got three holes in yesterday morning and then we came in.
We did come in.
And then we had to go back out.
Yeah, we thought we were done. We had the old dream three-hole loop, and time to go play the back nine.
This one is called...
Well, that was uncomfortable, wasn't it?
Correct. And you'll get to that. So
yes, we will get to that.
We always kick things off with caddy stories.
Yeah, recently we just had our good friend Justin Kipina stop by. And
gave us,
he came by for some new Glorified Donkey gear. And while he was here, he shared a great story with us.
Actually, that's a good point. Kipina, who to people have listened from the beginning, has been on a couple of times. He's from Canada.
He is.
Well, the UP, yeah. Which is basically
Upper
Canada.
Peninsula of Michigan, also Canada.
And he came over to pick up some GD swag.
He did.
So you can also actually check out the website, glorifieddonkey.com, and visit the shop if you want anything. But he came over, and then he started telling us a wee bit of something. The usual caddy conversation. It was like being in the bench.
Yeah, we said we got to turn on the recorder for this because it was a gem, and it is a gem. You're going to hear it now.
That's right. I said pump the brakes and let's have a laugh at this. So enjoy this next 4 or 5 minutes because it's an absolute belter of a story.
Gem.
Your work for a father-son, it reminds me of this father-son I worked for recently.
Uh-huh.
It was a shotgun and it's winter months. So I get down there and I meet this older guy, you know, a blob of a man, and he's like kind of just poured himself into the cart, and I'm sitting there talking to him, shake his hand, what's going on, buddy? And he goes, yeah, it's a bucket list. I'm like, oh God, great bucket list guy. Then he goes, it's me and my son. I'm like, well, where is he? He goes, no clue. I'm like, okay. So we're teeing off in like a minute and a half, and all of a sudden this kid comes flying up. He's like, how's it going? And he put his bag on the cart, and I go, what tees are you going to play? He goes, I'm real green. I'm real green at the sport. I'm like, okay. I was like, why don't you play with your pops up there on the greens? He goes, no, I'm gonna go from the blues. I'm like, so the whole group is up on the greens. We've talked him into playing forward, and he's green at the sport, and he's playing the blues. This kid was odd. Like, you know when you meet somebody and they never really stare you in the eye, and like he'd shake my hand, his head would be pointing forward. I was like, he was socially awkward, probably on the spectrum or something like that. So I'm dealing with this kid, and we're on the ninth hole, and he goes to me, he goes, why do you do this job? And I go,
why do you do it?
Yeah, and I'm like, well, you know, this and that. I like meeting people, being outside. He goes, I guess. And I'm just like, this is the weirdest conversation I ever had. So there's on one of the holes, we go out ahead because we're on these new forward tees, and it's you know, across like a little river. So the kid's back there on the blues. I mean, this kid was hitting the ball everywhere. I'm up there with his pops, a doctor that's in the group, and somebody else. And we're waiting for the old boy back there just to hit a tee shot. He hits this duck hook, and he smokes this doctor in the ribs. This guy, he boom, like, and I'm just like, holy shit. I mean, I haven't been close to that, somebody getting hit that hard with a golf ball in a while, like 120 miles per hour in the ribs. And then I'm like, oh man. And then the kid comes up and, you know, what would your first thing you'd say be like?
I'm so sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
The guy goes, did that hurt? You should see this dog. He's like, do you think it hurt? Do you think it hurt? So we finished this round, and it was like a 7.5 hour
loop.
It was shotgun midwinter slow. I'm like, just get this over with. The round ends. The kid, like magic, poof, gone. Disappeared. I was like, where did he go? He was just gone. So I hop in the cart and I cruise up to the top with this old man. I'm like, let's just get my, you know, get my pittance here and head on. And he goes, tips included in the base fee, right? And I go,
oh no.
I'm like, no, it's not. It's like, it's then I just quote what, you know, they have on their
tip card.
Card. So I give him that, and he goes, whew, man, that's
a little steep.
He goes, that's expensive. So there's like this little rock wall by the pro shop, and we're next to it, and he turns his back, and I see him peel open the wallet. He's got like 4 10s, a 20, a couple of fives, and like 20 ones. And I'm like, just grab that grip and give it to me. Just empty it out. Just give it to me. It was like $100 there. And this guy, he's fingering through it. He counts it once. And then he stops and he counts it again. And then he grabs the pinch out of the wallet. I'm like, this guy's actually going to give me the minimum that I would actually expect from a job. And he peels off 3 10s and he goes, got to keep a little for myself, you know?
That's an absolute belter, isn't it?
Unbelievable. I mean, we meet some weirdos on the course, and wow, Justin, that was crazy.
Yeah,
so, crazy.
Thanks to Kip for that one.
Got to save a little for myself.
Oh, brilliant. He says the kid was in the spectrum. I'm going to have to say, yeah, that's a 10 out of 10. Oh,
man. I've had a few of those, and man, they're fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
I can't actually think of any situation like that I've ever had.
There's some bizarre people out there. There's some bizarre people. I've told the one on this podcast a couple of times, like about the guy who broke down in the fairway, told me he was getting divorced, and started crying, and I was like, oh well, still 9 iron, bro. We got to keep the pace moving. I mean, we're here to play golf. I mean, I'm sorry, but
I worked with a kid the other day who really the Oscar for the best performance that day. So I had a father son. He had a father daughter.
Oh, geez. I have a few of those in my day.
Sometimes we struggle with kids that are teenagers because they're kind of like wet dumps. They don't have much to say.
They are. Actually, yeah. Tell your story. I got a good one that just happened to me, but go ahead. I want to hear this.
Well, it was the other caddy had a 13-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
So after he says, hello, how you doing? Like, and she was a beginner.
Oh, geez.
Swinging a miss. And I look at my players and I'm just shaking my head. We don't care about the quality of the golf.
We don't.
Pick it up, move on.
Yeah.
Pick it up, move on. Which, hats off to the father. He kind of kept things moving along. But the caddy was so enthusiastic. And after two holes, because I said to him in the second when we went forward, I said,
laying it out a little thick, bro.
I said, you're going to be exhausted by the end of this. And hats off to him. He got the whole way around. He never wavered from the enthusiasm, the tips, the help.
He's got to be recently hired, right? Last 2 years, 3 years. Sounds like it. I think
he could be 4 to 5, actually.
Wow, and he's still got that sort of enthusiasm. Yeah.
However, he must have been shooting himself inside, because what are you going to talk to a 13-year-old girl about?
Depends.
Your depends.
Depends.
Well, it talking just, about diapers.
Yeah, it just brought me to another one I had recently. I actually texted you about this job. This is actually kind of funny because I texted you like a month and a half ago. I was like, "Hey, you want to do this job?" And it was from this Japanese guy that I caddied for, him and his daughter, like 6 months ago. He's like, "Hey, I have one of my friends and his daughter coming out to play." And the email was all Japanese. And I texted you. I said, "Hey, you want this job in a month and a half?" And you go, "Yeah, I think I'll pass on that." So anyways, I did this job last week. And he came
in. Oh, you did it?
I did this job. Yeah, yeah. So I caddied for this Japanese father and daughter like 6 months ago. The girl, she was a student at IMG Academies in Bradenton, Florida, where I moved from. So I lived right next door to this place. IMG Academies is where all these wealthy parents from other countries, U.S. included, they send their kids because they think they're going to be, you know, the next Tiger Woods, Annika Sorenstam, what have you. And they give these parents false hopes that their kids, well, some of them are going to make it, but they give these parents false hopes and then the kids false hopes that, you know, they're going to make it on the PGA tour, the LPGA tour or whatnot. So anyways, I get this referral from this gentleman from Japan, and same deal, another father-daughter from Japan. This girl also goes to IMG Academy. She's 13 years old and she had a lot to say, and she was very talkative, and it was a very enjoyable loop, and she had really good insight onto what she was doing at IMG Academy. She's like, "Look, you know, I really haven't had the conversation with my dad yet." And she was from Japan, but spoke very fluent English. She went to school strictly in English from a young age. So she spoke English with almost no accent.
Did you guys speak Japanese or English? I know your Japanese is
very
good.
Yeah, I threw a couple of words in there. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway. Nice. Frag stick. But she was very like, she's like, "You know, look, I want to play. I'll probably go on to play collegiate golf, but I know I'm nowhere good enough, and I don't really want to play professional golf." So she already had that insight at 13 as a freshman in high school that this is not the path that I want to be on. And honestly, she was like, "You know, I don't even really want to be here and be playing golf. I'm on spring break right now. All I do back home is practice and play golf. That's all I do. And I'm out here because my dad's coming to the U.S. to visit me for 2 weeks, and he wants to go on a golf trip." And it's like, she's like, "I don't really don't want to be here." She's like, "I'm going to play and keep him happy." But it was just really interesting conversation. She had a lot of enlightenment for a 13-year-old on the game of golf and her state of the game, because a lot of those kids don't. A lot of those kids are delusional, thinking, you know, "I am going to be the next, you know, Annika Sorenstam, Tiger Woods, and I'm going to make a fortune playing golf." Mm. So it was an interesting loop and an enjoyable one.
Did you see my post on Twitter about the sinkhole and 18 at the big course?
I did. Oh yeah, we did. We haven't. Yeah, that went kind of viral.
Yeah.
You had over a million views on that.
1.2 million views.
That's pretty crazy.
On a 13-second video. We're walking. It's getting dark. It's late on the Monday night. I'm caddying for a couple of guys. Father son. A lot of father sons lately. And this was
'tis the season.
Jimmy and Ross Dooling. Their names are.
Jimmy Dooling, love Jimmy.
And we're walking down the 18th fairway, and all of a sudden, we see a hole in the middle of the fairway, about 160 yards out, and we all walked towards it.
Of course, yeah.
I thought, hey, we'll send a little, this is interesting. Golf perverts love anything to do
with
golf.
It's amazing what tickles people's fancy.
And I never thought about it until I got home, and my wife said, "Why is everyone standing next to the edge?" And it turned out that this...
It could cave in even more, yeah.
We've had so good much point. Rain over the last few months that...
Crazy amounts.
The pipes that are at the top of the hill, the drainage, and it goes all the way underneath, a couple of miles, it turns out, it's old clay pipes.
So what happened was the pipe probably had a rupture, and it was caving in the soil around it.
So far, who knows how long, weeks, months,
years,
had been washing away all the earth.
Wow.
And it just happened to be at that moment we were walking down. So I let the pro shop know, because I was just thinking about, you know, old Grandpa Joe coming down.
Oh, of course.
In the dark.
Put up a cone or
Where's
something.
Where's my ball?
Where's my ball?
And then he goes straight into the sinkhole.
Yeah.
And in true big course fashion, the hole was repaired the following day.
Of course.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, 1.2 million people watched
it. It was an intriguing video, and it was pretty impressive to see the depth of that hole just in that brief video. I mean, it was impressive.
If anyone is not following it on social media, Glorified Donkey, go and check it out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube.
And share it with your friends.
Yeah, make sure and share it with the friends. So I mentioned a lot of father sons, Mike. I had a guy called John Ray, who I know. I met him a few years ago. I saw him at the Waste Management last year. Mm-hmm. He came up to the booth when I was out there. He brought his son, Jack, who I've also known. This kid's 16. He's a gem.
In a good way.
Well, you just do this, do that. Absolutely no probs. I could have probably said, here, Jack, you want to come up to the parking lot and wash my truck? Yeah, sure. You know what I mean? He literally...
Took instruction well.
He did. He played really good golf.
Good.
And there was not one steady question, anything we said. He just said, yes, okay.
So it's got to be like father, like son, right? Father was just the same way. John, you the same way?
The apple flew a long way from the tree because at one point I ended up saying to John, who he's a financial advisor, he does risk assessment. Mm-hmm. And then I guess that's how they decide how they're going to invest a client's money. Okay. Well, I said to him, if one of your, this is like one of your clients flying to Dallas, maybe mm-hmm. from New York City. You sit down and you say, hey, John, what are we going to do with my money? And John goes, oh, well, I've been looking at the charts. Risky here, risky there, not so risky there. So we're going to do this, this, this. And the client goes, no, we're not.
Yeah, that's not what we're doing. That's not what I want
to
do.
I'm going to take them all to Vegas and put it in black. It was ridiculous. So I said, why did you fly all this way just to argue with me, John?
You flew this way to not listen to what I have to tell you.
It happens very often.
More often than it should.
However, this happened for 2 full days.
Oh, really?
So he's got a bag of clubs. Doesn't like the 3-wood. Doesn't like the 3-hybrid.
Oh, jeez. Why are they in the bag?
Why are they in the bag? So we go
You're not carrying, are you?
No.
Let's be reasonable here.
Later on, I'll tell you about how all this panned out because it was fantastic. At one point, we're in 14. He's next to the cart path. So let's say the ball's on the left side of the cart path.
Okay.
Where should he drop that?
On the left side of the cart path.
On the left. And what would? How far would he do it?
You get stance in a club.
Stance in one club. So you wouldn't get 18 club lengths to the right-hand side.
Negatory.
That was the first thing he says. I've taken my free drop. And I thought, you've taken a lot more than your free drop, mate. So I bring the 5-iron. At which point he goes, why am I hitting? I said, hit the 5-iron.
Because I told you to hit it.
He goes, no, I think I'll hit the 3 or the hybrid or the 3-wood.
You mean the 2 clubs you don't like?
Exactly. Yeah. I says, well, I'm not going back to get it. So he goes back, he gets the 3-hybrid, hooks it into the trash.
Good call, John.
And then he says, oh, why did you let me do that?
Oh, God, get out of here.
He was, you know, he was
get out of here.
But he just incredibly negative about so many shots. He would hit a fairway. He drove the ball fantastically well, but he then said, he would go, oh, I'll miss the green though. Can you imagine in your own golf game?
I've seen those people. Usually they're not from Arizona. Usually from New York.
Well, he's from Dallas. Dallas is in Texas.
Is he originally from New York?
Nah, he's born and bred.
Dallas?
In Texas.
And he carries that sort of negativity around with him?
He does risk assessment for a job.
Oh, I hit the driver off to the right again. I'm going to miss the green. I always miss the green. Oh, it never works. That. Oh, that 6-iron's never good. Why'd you let me hit that?
There you go. That's for your impression.
Yeah.
I hit that by mistake.
Does that sound just like you, John?
And but you know, a lovely man, but oh, he needs to change his attitude. It's 2 days was enough.
Yeah, he's a podcast listener too, isn't he?
I think he listens to a wee bit here and there. Yeah. You know, some people listen to 1 in 5 or something, or what they might do if they know they're coming out, they'll listen to the latest one.
Yeah,
to make it sound pretend that they're actually listening to them all. I know your
know
tricks.
Yeah.
So we did call this episode. Well, that was uncomfortable, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm, yeah, regarding a couple of incidences involving myself, actually, over the past many weeks, yes.
Yeah, okay.
The first one, you were with me on this one. Actually, you were with me on both of them, but...
Okay.
This first one was the most awkward thing anybody's ever said to me on the golf course from a mm-hmm. player to a caddy. So this is the end of a 3-day job. We're on the first hole. I'm riding out to the fairway in the cart. I'm in the cart with the players, just, you know, I'm doing a double, but there's the other players walking on the fairway. I'm in the cart with this guy, and he turns his head, and he looks at me, and he says, you know, Mike, I'm not gay. And I was like, okay, but if I was,
I'd totally be into you.
Like, okay, where do we go from here? This is the first hole, the end of a three-day job. I mean, exactly. I mean, how do you take that? How do you take that?
It was shock. It was the first hole as well. It was the first hole. You hadn't even teed off.
No. Well, no. We had teed off. We were on our way out to the fairway.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've just teed off on the first hole. You didn't even wait till the 18th.
No, he went for it right away. I don't know if he was fishing for something, but I'm a very happily married man to my wife of 8 years.
Well, remember JR from Mitch Rigsby's group, and he pulled me aside after the end of 4 or 5 days, and he told me that very disturbing story.
Very, very
which
disturbing.
I can't repeat.
You can't repeat, yeah.
But he at least he waited till the end, 3 hours before he got on a flight back home.
True. True. Yeah,
First hole,
and then it was an awkward first hole, and then we the second hole at the big course, as we usually do, get out in four caddy position. I'm like, Gordon, I just got to tell you something at what just happened to me and what was just said to me, and this is what was said. What do you make of this? He's like, well, I'd stay away from him.
Don't turn your back.
Yeah, exactly.
I was very supportive, as everyone can actually imagine. Oh yeah, here.
Gordon was eating it up. He was dying, but. Yeah.
I told the other players as well, so they were aware of this. And you actually looked a little shaken. I'm not going to lie. You were a little bit shaken. Like, what do I do here? This is...
I've never had a comment like that out of left field. Like, where do you go from here?
I mean, I don't smoke crack, but do you have some?
Yeah, exactly. You're fishing for something.
Fishing.
Yeah.
Now, later in the round, in front of everyone...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about this.
Yeah, same guy, not gay, but if I was, I'd be right into you. I mentioned something about, oh, let me clean your ball there. He says,
I like balls.
I like balls. And I, at that point, I said, hey, you're giving away too much information about your hobbies there.
Yeah, exactly. But,
oh, so uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
Hashtag me too. Did you think about taking it further?
I contacted a few attorneys. They didn't think I had a lot of wiggle room, but there could be some things in the works.
Well, the biggest issue is he said.
That's true. True.
Now, if I said the term the Yoga Pants Brigade, would you, as a caddy of many years, know what I'm talking about? Would you?
150%. Yes, I know exactly who you're talking about. Happens, I don't know, every other week. Yeah, especially at the big course.
Yeah. Especially at the big course.
Yes, you get the, a lot of these trips are just guys' trips. They come out, they don't bring the wives, but when they do bring the wives go to the spa, go shopping in Carmel, do whatever, and then they want to come out and hang out on the golf course.
They want to hang out on the golf course. And I'll be honest, I have no problem with women, okay? Not a problem, right? Would I prefer to carry for a guy than a woman? 100%. The one thing I'm not a big fan of is when guys bring the women, their wives, girlfriends, on the course to spectate. Now, I always question, maybe the first hole, maybe the first tee, maybe the last couple of holes.
Yeah, I get a few pictures on 17 and 18.
Like Jimmy Doolin, for example, his group, always the ladies join the last 2 or 3 holes.
Yeah, of course.
It's not a problem.
Not a problem at all.
But these ladies were there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Overstaying your welcome.
Now, I'd said to them in the first, ladies, 1, 2, 3, then you can nip down 17, 18.
Perfect. Done.
And then when you come back out, if you want to, go down 17.
Exactly.
Or come and meet us at 17. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, no, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
What?
Yeah. The atmosphere changes.
It does. Different dynamic. They don't act the same. Yeah.
The boys ain't being the boys.
Of course not.
The jokes change.
Oh, big time.
Dirty jokes turn into no jokes.
Yeah.
Right?
Smiles turn into frowns.
One of the ladies actually was, because what they'll sometimes do is they won't stick as a group. There'll be some ladies that stick as a group, and that's fine. But then some of them radiate towards their own man.
Yes. Yes.
Now this, wow. This was that
this
type
is deep
of group.
Insight. This is true. Yeah. This is very true.
This is great information and feedback and maybe advice actually. So we're on the 15th. One of the players hits a shot. He then taps the ground with his club because he's not happy with the shot. But it's not an angry act. We know anger.
Oh, of course.
This is a 2 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Where 10 would be probably
mild disgust.
Mild disgust. Yeah. Which I'm surprised that this man's 62, and I don't think he was ever a good golfer. So we think he'd be abused to it by now. Mm-hmm. I was certainly used to it after only 15 holes. So he taps the ground, 2 out of 10, anger. And his wife says, I really don't like it when you slam the ground with your club. It's very poor etiquette.
What's the guy's name?
I can't remember the name.
Gotcha.
Yeah, completely gone.
Oh, man.
John?
Yeah. Johnny, you can't be tapping the ground like that. I mean, you could damage the grass.
You'll damage the course for other golfers.
And it makes me upset.
So we had one of those. The thing that then really annoyed me, if we're taking golf carts, right, which I was, part or parcel of that is we get out front in a par 4 and a par 5. We can get out there, we can get into the fairway, grab mm-hmm. some clubs, take some yardage. We're all prepped. We're trying to keep the pace of play up.
Get efficient.
Where do the Yoga Pants Brigade walk, Michael? I'll give you one chance at this.
They line up straight across the cart path, 4 deep.
Well, wow, wouldn't you know? They don't walk down the fairway. They don't walk down the middle.
No, of course not.
They don't radiate back towards their man.
They only do that in the caddy's way. Yeah, they want to get in their way.
Excuse me, coming through. You'd think after about 3 of those, somebody might figure out, you know what, we shouldn't walk in the cart path, huh?
They don't figure it out.
So, but there you go. I went another one of those. So, keeps on coming. I would say it's less than once a week. You think you said once every couple of weeks.
You know what's even better? When the brigade wants to drive the carts.
Oh,
the players want to walk. They want you to drive the carts, but they're golf cart. I'll just ride around the golf cart. Well, I need the golf cart near me to shuttle your husband clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Everything changes. You know, my wife works in the golf course.
She sees it all.
She says the Yoga Pants Brigade are massive tip killers. They start telling their husband that they can't have a hot dog because there's too much salt in it.
No, especially for the cart people, yeah.
Can I see the wine list?
Yeah.
Are these the only ice cubes you have?
That's impressive.
They'll come up and get a bottle of water and a protein bar, all of them, and then they want to pay separately.
Unbelievable.
So
charge it to the room.
Now, that round also, though, brought up another one, a first that I've never seen before.
A first?
This was a first. I've never seen this.
Firsts are rare at this stage in the game after 20 years?
On the fourth tee, I'm working with another caddy who runs a lot. He's always running. And the players sometimes look and they go, why is he running so much?
Yeah, we have some runners.
Running man. We're about to tee off in 4. My player stops and looks behind him. And the other caddy is running. Now, he's running back to the third green. And we all realize that he's running back to the third green because he still has the flag stick in his hand.
Oh, jeez.
Which I've never done and I've never seen happen.
Is this like a brand new rug?
No, no, oh, no, no. He's been here for years. But I think he pops a gummy or two.
Yeah, he gets so high. He forgets he has the flag stick in his hand.
Yeah, this lad's kind of like Pac-Man when it comes to the gummies.
Wow.
So, have you ever seen it?
I have actually. Actually, I saw in caddy training many years ago, I saw this. This guy was struggling immensely, and Josh Fisher was the trainer who's one of my good friends, but he's a ruthless caddy trainer. He digs on people, mm-hmm. and he was getting this guy all flustered. He really wasn't getting it. Finally, he dialed this hole, and he was doing a 4 caddy, and he had it dialed in, and they teach you in 4 caddy training. Once you finish a hole, you give the hole description right there on the green and then run out into 4 caddy position on the next hole. So that's how they trained back then, and I think they still do. So anyways, this guy, he nails the green. He's got everything dialed in, gives the whole description, and then he's trotting out to the fairway. And I'm hitting in the group, and Fish is training, and I see what's happening. And the caddy's running out there, and he's got the flag stick in his hands. And we're on the tee box, and he's like 150 yards out there, and he still doesn't even know he has the flag stick in his hand because he's like, I just nailed that last hole. I did everything right. And Fish is like, rolling it, putting his hands towards his chest. Come back, come back, come back. The caddy's like, whoa, what did I do? I did everything right. I did everything right. I did everything you asked. I did it perfect. And he goes, yeah, you just did one thing wrong. And he's like, what? He goes, you still got the flag stick in your hands from last hole. And the kid just looked down like, oh, my God, I'm an idiot.
Devastated.
It was priceless. So that's the only other time I saw something like that.
Well, funny, you mentioned caddy training. Wee pal Chris Felix,
oh yeah,
was out from
our
Arizona.
Buddy from Whisper Rock.
I've got it written down as shadowing, but I want to move on because we got a lot to talk about in mailbag questions and big game golf. So we'll leave that for the next episode. You anything else you want to add right now, or you want to just
save them for the next episode.
Before we move on to a wee bit of fun in the mailbag questions, myself and Zabo had a really good conversation earlier with Wee Ron and Wee Rich.
We did, from Big Game Golf, our new
sponsor.
Sponsor, yeah. Title sponsor.
The Big Game Golf app is currently live, so you can download it whenever you want. It'll prompt you to put in a promo code.
It will. Yeah, download the app, and then you got to register, and then it'll ask for a promo code. And there's two promo codes for the Real Life Caddy podcast, one for G and one for myself.
So all lowercase. This could be a little bit of fun for you guys. If you've already have it, delete it and then get the new one. And then
register and then put in G-Donkey, lowercase, G-Donkey 2. That is for Zabo. G-Donkey 2, and you can all lowercase.
G-Donkey 1 for me.
But you know you're going to put in G-Donkey 2.
So let's have a bit of fun with that. What we wanted to do was just explain very quickly what Big Game Golf is. They gave us some more information. There's going to be a brand new app that has a completely new interface, more features coming up later this year. However, at the moment, how would you best describe the app, Mike?
It's a really impressive app. It's a great app for scorekeeping, just general scorekeeping. It has pretty much any golf course in America. And for different type of gambling games, they have over 50 types of individual team or group contests. I mean, mm-hmm. and it keeps score for you. I mean, if you're playing Wolf, it's going to tell you the order you should go in. You can set betting limits. It's a great tool for all golfers of all skill sets.
Yeah. I think they're trying to build a community. You're going to be able to interact with anyone, anywhere, at any time. So you can play a game against someone in a different state that you don't even know.
Yeah, and they went over a lot of the features. And not only that, but after you finish, it's going to tally up who owes who what money. Yeah. And then you can actually bill people through like Venmo directly through mm-hmm. the app. You can actually send them. And once you register and put in your phone number and all that, once you win or lose money, it will tell you how much you won or lost and then prompt payment.
It's very impressive. There are other apps, but the maximum number of games, I believe, is about 12 or 16.
Yeah, Big Game's doing it right.
Way more. And I think for us, we're going to start using it on the golf course with our players. So everyone downloads it, and then we can actually set up the game. There's no need for scorecards anymore.
Correct.
Because we did do it in Arizona. I may be repeating myself, but when I went out to the waste management on the Wednesday, I played with the old farmers, and it took half an hour, 40 minutes for 20 scorecards to get looked through.
Yeah.
Who got the skins, who owed who money, was it accurate, was it correct?
It's very time consuming too. Once you do like 20 scorecards and you start to break down skins, you got to go hole by hole. Well, this app does it for you. I mean, it's
well. The impressive. Following day when we played, it was the Big Game Golf boys and investors and different people they'd invited. Within 2 minutes, Wee Rich was handing me money and saying, "You won that." So fantastic. So as we say, there'll be more. We're going to get them on the podcast at some point this year. They can talk a lot more about the development of it, why they developed it, what the future plans are. In the meantime, you can support them, you can support us. Download the app, play around with it, and make sure and put in promo code GDonkey1.
No, GDonkey2. And just so you know, too, you can register and you can tie in your gin handicap to it, and then you put in your handicap, and then you can... Other players in the group don't have to have the app, or they don't have to have valid indexes. You can... because a lot of people show up to the tee and they say, "Oh, well, I don't have a handicap, but I'm a 12 or whatever, I'm a 15. You can put in their handicap to into the scorecard.
Excellent. So now we can move on a little bit. We have a number of mailbag questions.
Shoot.
First one. This is more of a comment, Mike. It's from an Adolf Corona.
Adolf.
Pro Router LLC. He's out in Colorado.
Made up. Totally made up.
You think?
Adolf?
Well, I would hope so. I wouldn't.
Let's hear the comment first. I'm kind of worried about this.
Well, in his email signature, it has his phone number. And as I say, Pro Router LLC. I don't know. Maybe he's having a laugh. Adolf, can you get in contact again? Is that really your name? I'm a good green reader. And in the past, have reacted to a caddy's reads by saying, "Really?" or "Whoa." I know you guys say you hate being questioned over your reads. Perhaps it's not always players not believing, but more in shock like myself. Thoughts?
I get it. But yeah, it is frustrating. It's frustrating because we're trained professionals and a lot of us have,
well, professionals? Wow.
Yes, we are. I am. I mean, overselling yourself. But anyways, we're trained caddies, and many of us, yourself and myself included, have seen these courses thousands of times. So yeah, we're not gonna get everything perfectly right, but more often than not, we're gonna be right. I mean, so when somebody comes up and says, "Really?" or "It doesn't do that," it's like, well, I've seen it 2,500 times. How many times have you seen it?
The word hate. Don't know about that.
I'm not a fan of it. No caddy is. Really? Really, it does that?
I think sometimes something just comes out before you even think, I'm brilliant at doing that.
I don't fault you for it, but I don't have to like it. I don't hate it, but I don't like it.
Well, when we somebody says, "Oh, is this a par 4? No.
Geez.
Or is this a par 3?
Yeah. Oh, come on, bro.
It's the first thought that comes to their head, and then they say it. So I don't get hate, strong word. But yeah, listen, we've seen these 2,000-3,000 times. So, Adolf, thank you for your question. Daniel Cho of Cho and Chang, LLC. he's from San Ramon, California. Have you watched Full Swing yet? If not, how do you call this a golf podcast?
Wow.
If you like golf, I don't know how you wouldn't like that series.
I kind of agree. I mean, I've watched it start to finish.
Yeah. What did you think?
I enjoyed it. It was very interesting because they followed the PGA Tour in an interesting year because LIV Tour happened. The LIV Tour started the same year that this documentary came to be, and they followed, what was it, three players that jumped ship and went to LIV.
Let me guess. They painted the PGA Tour as Mary Poppins, correct, and they painted LIV Golf as the devil.
Correct. It was ridiculous. I mean, but yeah, they showed Brooks Koepka and Ian Poulter at their lowest lows, and it was, I mean, showed them as has-beens, which they kind of are, but I mean, it's, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the insights and to seeing into the lives of these PGA Tour players, but they're showing guys who have hundreds and hundreds of millions flying around on private jets. Ian Poulter, I mean, they just showed Ian Poulter to be what he is, which is an absolute douche.
A bell end. I've seen 45 seconds of it, of the maybe 6 hours, and it was a little clip of McIlroy cussing out Phil Mickelson, which I thought was very poor in taste.
It was pretty clear they knew where their bread was buttered, and it was
butter was ready.
Yeah, from the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I don't know. I would love to see. I just there's nothing about me that wants to watch that.
You know, watch guys with hundreds of millions of dollars who are at their wits' end.
I do that every day in the golf course as a caddy.
Exactly.
No, but I think the thing is we live golf, so that's not a pun. Live golf. We live the game of golf because it's our life, our livelihoods. I enjoy playing golf. I don't necessarily enjoy watching golf. I think it's quite boring. I think that all the tours are trying to do this thing with golf to make it really cool and attractive to non-golfers. You either watch it or you don't. I'd rather see a series where they follow journeymen who sleep in their cars, turn up at Monday qualifiers, who are chasing the dream, as opposed to, like you say, guys that are worth $200 or $300 million already.
And I think a lot of people would, but I think the problem is the majority of people want to see the superstars.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But I
don't know. I don't know. I think it'd be half and half. I bet there's a lot of people like me. I've thought about turning it on several times, and I end up going back to watching like something like Pie in the Sky from the 90s. Thank you for your question, Cho. Much better than Chang. Greg Adams, Akron, Ohio. How much can you tell about a golfer by his putter?
You can tell a lot. I mean, you can tell if, you know, if they take care of their things, if they got like a head cover on, if it's not all dinged up, if it's well cared for, if the grip's worn out, you can tell they've had it for years, shiny and new. I mean, you can tell if they've been struggling with their putters, if they have like a weird grip on it or, you know, a super long putter. I mean, you can tell a lot of things.
One of those Canadian pros that I carried for a few weeks ago had the grip on sideways, 90 degrees to where it should be.
People mix it up. And you you've struggled with your putting, buddy.
Exactly. That's exactly the first thing I said. So I think you can tell a ton about someone.
You can.
Because the first thing I would look at is if it's over 36 inches long, 37 if you're tall.
Something's wrong.
You know there's a problem. Yeah. If you start looking at 45, 48 broom handle putters, they used to call it, you know someone's had a lot of issues with their
I wouldn't say I'm a putter aficionado, but like I see like a nice circle T head cover on a putter, and I'm very curious to see what's underneath those. Those Scotty Cameron circle tees are pieces of art. They really are.
I thought you were going to say it would be interesting to see what's in the wallet.
That too. Tip-wise. Yeah.
Michael Wallach.
Wallach?
Wallach. He won't say it that way because he's from Charlotte, North Carolina. Wallach.
Wallach.
Have you ever witnessed a physical altercation on the course? As a caddy, what did you do? We had two guys recently get into a fight mid-round. One actually hit the other with a club.
Nice. With a club?
Yeah, he's a very ugly scene.
Sought with a deadly weapon.
And both were chucked out of the club.
Ooh.
I've never actually seen a physical altercation on the course. Have you?
I have never witnessed one firsthand, no.
Okay. Would you get involved or just watch?
Well, I don't know about get involved. I would definitely get out my phone and start videoing. I mean, that's just called content right there. I want to see what's going to happen. I mean, we need evidence for the trial.
It's incredible how heated people do get on the course, isn't it?
I equate it kind of like when you're driving, people really puff up when they're driving in their cars and they have the serious road rage. But yeah, we actually, a few months ago, our buddy, I said I was going to tell this one on the podcast. We were going to have Jim actually come on and tell it, but he decided not to for legal reasons. But this happened to him a few months ago at the big course. He saw a physical altercation. So there was these two guys, one from Oklahoma, one from Texas. One guy was 35 years old. The other guy was like 72.
Yep, that's right.
And so a couple of times his group apparently hit into the group in front of them. They yelled four, but that happened a couple of times. So they were on the 17th hole, and the 35-year-old from Oklahoma in front of them missed like a short putt, and he thought somebody on the tee started laughing at him.
Mm-hmm.
So they finished the hole, and he comes charging back at Jim, and he's like, "What's up, bro? You're going to laugh at me for missing my putt? What's going on?" And then the 75-year-old guy stepped in from Texas, and he says, "Look, sir, you need to walk away and step off. You know, just go finish your
round.
Wind
your neck
and pop. Yeah, yeah, get out of here." And he goes, "Look, old man, I'll break your hip." And he threw up his arms and started walking to him. And this guy was having none of it. So this guy from Texas dropped him. He kicked him straight in the chest, dropped him on the ground, down to his knees, like in severe pain on his knees. And his buddies had to come gather him up, and they walked away. And yeah, he went after the round, and he called the police on the guy. Like, he was...
Wow. Assault.
At that point, you gotta kind of tuck your tail in between your legs when you're challenging a 70-year-old man to a fight, and then he puts you down.
Well, you threaten to break his hip.
Yeah, I mean, and then you're going to call the police on him, but...
I believe, because I went out to Scottsdale with Jim, and I can't remember. Maybe it was the Tall Boys. Maybe this is true, or maybe it's not. But he did tell me a story. And I think he told me, the boy from Texas.
He told you this story.
Grandpa Joe with a hip. He owns something like 50 karate studios in Texas.
Wow.
I think so. But, well, you know, I don't
know. It makes sense. One little kick to the chest and he dropped him.
That might be the Budweiser talking.
It sounds better. It makes the story better.
So thank you for your mailbag questions. If you have any, please email them in, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. or on the social media. I've got a belter here, right? You're going to love this. I got an email quite some time ago.
Set the stage.
So a number of months ago, a guy called Liam, he sends me an email that says, WHS Shambles.
WHS Shambles.
Yeah, that was the subject. And then he says, "Something has to be done, ruining golf."
Ooh.
And it's an audio file.
Intriguing. Okay?
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play the audio file in its entirety, which isn't that long.
"We know what he's doing, but none of it adds up. So in his midweek general rounds, he's shooting about 122. And he's handed in scorecards. He handed in scorecards twice with a score of 122 in it, right? They're just general rounds. You can hand in a scorecard now for a general round. All of a sudden then, he comes out and he wins 4 out of 6 multi-medals off of 21. 4 out of 6. He won April, May, August and September off of 21, after shooting 122 twice this summer. He was out in his shoes 74 off of 19. Look away and fuck off. And to make it worse, man, he's the handicap secretary up there. That's the fucking thing. He's on the committee and he's the handicap secretary. A dirty, rotten cunt.
He's on the handicap committee.
Right, so...
Oh, man.
Right, so this is brilliant. So he sent me another email and it had an attachment on it, okay? So this is a place called Rathbane Golf Club, and that is in Limerick on the southwest of Ireland, right? You could probably tell. And it's to do with a guy called Billy. This was a September medal of last year. And the scores were, it's a par 70. And he shot 74 with a 19 handicap at the time. He got the lowest gross. Can you believe that? He's 55.
That's taking sandbagging to new level.
So what I'll do, I'm going to play this again. Just, you know, Alex, I'll try and translate, okay?
We know what he's doing, but none of it adds up.
Right, none of it adds up. Okay?
Yeah, I got that much.
He's not sure what he's doing.
I'm following you so far.
None of it adds up.
In his midweek general rounds, he's shooting about 122.
Okay, so the guy is shooting 122 in his regular rounds.
His
midweek
rounds, yes.
Yeah, his midweek rounds, 122.
122.
And he's handed in scorecards. He handed in scorecards twice with a score of 122 in it, right? They're just general rounds. You can hand in a scorecard now for a general round.
So just a general round.
Handing in a scorecard off a general round. What's a general round as opposed to what? A tournament round?
Correct.
Gotcha.
I smell a rat. Yep. I smell a rat from Billy. So then we go.
All of a sudden then he comes out and he wins 4 out of 6.
You hear that?
4 out of 6?
4 out of 6. He's almost as good as Scotty Scheffler or John Rahm. Right? This is what we're talking about. Down here at Rathbane Golf Club.
Monthly medals off of 21.
There you go. We call them monthly medals.
Monthly medals.
Every month, the last Saturday or the first Saturday of every month, back in, you know, the UK and Ireland, we'll have a monthly medal. Right?
Gotcha.
4 out of 6. He won April, May, August, and September.
April, May, August, September.
4 out of 6.
All right. He was on holiday, the other two.
Yeah, that's not supposed to happen, is it?
He was away to Spain and he missed two.
But he was shooting 122.
After shooting 122 twice this summer.
Twice this summer.
122.
4 out of 6. I'll tell you, Liam is not happy. You can tell that, can't you?
He was out and he shoots 74 off of 19.
He was out and shoots 74 off of 19.
It's impressive.
So he's gone from 122. Billy O'Doherty.
He brought it down.
122 down to 74. I tell you what, this guy is incredible.
Walk away and fuck off. And to make it worse, man.
What did he say? Walk away. Was it walk away, you fucker?
I'm not sure.
Repeat that.
Walk away and fuck off.
what was that? Were those words? What did he...
Walk away and fuck off.
Huh?
And to make it worse, man. He's the handicap secretary up there.
So the worst thing is the handicap secretary up there.
Yeah.
Up there, I'm guessing that's Rathbane.
Gotta make sure you can control the numbers.
And then we keep going.
That's the fucking thing. He's on the committee and he's the handicap secretary.
That's the worst thing. Up there, he's the handicap committee.
That's who you want running your committee?
A dirty, rotten cunt.
I tell you, and I don't think we need to explain that last part.
I think we all understood that one.
A dirty, rotten, see you next Tuesday.
Wow.
So that's what's happening over in Rathbane Golf Club. If any listeners are down there in Ireland and Limerick,
we have some advice for you. Don't go play Billy.
Don't be playing Billy. But yeah. I tell you, it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. I'll tell you, there's another one here. There's a guy called Derry. He shot an 81 with a 21 handicap for a 10 under 60.
Was this at Rathbane as well?
This was it. Oh, yeah, he came second. I tell you, right. So
wow. He's like, I'll show Billy. Watch this, Billy. Hold my beer.
I think there must be something in the water down there because what we're doing, they're producing some incredible golfers. We get Billy, 74 and a 19 handicap. He shoots a 55. He wins by 5 from Derry. Derry Hennessy, 81. Handicap a 21 for a 60.
That's crazy.
Stellar. We got a Garold, 86 on a 24 handicap. He's a 62. And then we had a Jamie Coody here, I think, 100. Off a handicap of 35.
Wow.
For a net 65, and then there was another couple of 68s.
But I'm not going to gamble at Rathbane.
There must be something in the water. Thank you very much, Liam, whoever you are. That was brilliant. I did try and reply.
No wonder Liam's so upset. It makes sense playing against these sandbaggers.
A dirty, rotten cunt.
You got to love it. Absolutely brilliant. So whoever you are, Liam, many thanks for your contribution to the Real Life Carry podcast.
Beautiful.
Now, Zabo, we've got to move on to that time where we give out some notable mentions. I'll go first.
Okay, you shoot.
Did we ever shout out Conroe Bob?
Conroe Bob,
from Conroe, Texas.
I don't know if we officially have, but
he and his mate Adam Steller. I have them in my book. They're now crossed off the list.
You shouted out.
There you go. We got Brian and James, brothers from Salt Lake City in Utah. Those are brothers.
Shout out to you.
Fish from San Jose.
Fish, what's up?
Dave Hadley from Arizona.
Love you, Dave.
Brett Saunders from Winnipeg, Canada.
Good to have you listening.
That's a hello to all the listeners in Canada. We also have a Trent Dixon, and he's in Brisbane, Australia.
Got a shout out, Trent.
Also, all the listeners in Libya.
We have a lot of Libyan listeners.
All of a sudden, I was looking at the stats the other week, and a whole bunch of listens came in from Libya in
Africa.
Shout
out to our Libyans, or is it Libyans?
Libyans.
Libyan, yeah. Shout out to our Libyans.
Charcuterie.
Sorry, it's getting late. I got a shout out, Wes, Tony, and Abe Daniel. So this group was a foursome of pastors. You got to watch what you say when you're caddying for four pastors.
Yep.
You got to know your audience. But this... So we're on the big course, we're on the seventh hole, and he's got this book out, and he's taking pictures with this book all over the place. I'm like, Abe, what's going on with this book? And it's the name of the book is called Four, and it's about his F-O-R-E, Abe Daniel. Look it up. He broke his neck while playing golf. It was a freak golf cart accident. Golf cart ran into him from behind, tossed him out of the cart, and rolled over on him, and he was diagnosed as a quadriplegic. Saying he'd never walk again, and he ended up making a full recovery. He's walking, playing golf, amazing, and it's an amazing story. He gave me the book. I'm going to read it soon, but it was great caddying for it. Kind of had to one-up him, though. I'm like, oh, yeah, you broke your back. I was like, yeah, this next hole, my father-in-law, he his heart stopped on that hole, and he kind of died and came back to life. So that was pretty funny. But got to shout you out, Abe.
He'd be a good podcast guest. That'd be...
He would, and actually, he'd be willing to come on. I'm sure he's going to be listening. I gave him our info. Got to also shout out our group we had this last week, Brian Holstein, Billy Dratty, Steve and Brendan. Steve Avery and Brendan McHugh.
Brendan was probably
the best self-reader
and self-reader I've ever seen out here.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Tremendous. Tremendous.
Great week, boys.
One thing, Zabo, before we clock off was, do you remember I mentioned a guy called Joe Anderson? Jojo.
Your money, your wealth.
That's it. Your money, your wealth. I was on their podcast last year, I think. They have a great idea on there for listeners. And this, I was actually thinking that we could do this. He's going to be out here shortly.
Okay.
And he might make a little guest appearance on the podcast. They do a thing called the spitball.
Yeah, you told me about this. It's where people send in their financial information. They tell you what you should do to actually, yeah.
And I thought to myself, we could do that with golf.
We could.
So if you listeners are out there and you want to describe your golf in an email, send it in. And then what myself and Zabo will do is we'll spitball how we think you could improve your game.
Yeah, we're not going to analyze and dissect your swing, but give us a brief overview of what you're doing in your game and where you think you need improvement.
We'll give you some tips. And it can tie into what we do with the whole improve your game season.
Exactly.
Series that we're going to do this year. So, excellent. Zabo, as always, many thanks for your time and your help.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We'll catch up again in another couple of weeks.
Of course.
To all your listeners, many thanks for your support. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, email them in, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. Do us a massive favor. Share the podcast. Help us grow. Thanks for listening. And until the next time, enjoy your golf, but stay away from Rathbane Golf Club.
A dirty rotten cunt.